There's been mud on my soul. There's been anger inside me. There's still unforgiven deeds that now it's time to free. I've been trapped inside so long. Don't remember how to live. How much of life has passed me by as I slept inside my dreams. Oh yes, sip the waters too. Let them wash all over you. Here you are at last. Free yourself from past and walk into the new. Be guided by what's true.
Om Shanti. Sit in water. Float in peace. Let water cause you release. Bathe in water. Let it flow. You can hold unto water. So let it hold you. When water has done its work, you will find that you are lighter. And what was waiting you is left waiting the water. That's the beauty of the water. When you are bathing in water, something that was heavy on you is released, is gone. That which was in the water, that which was in you, has become the part of water. They believe in holy pilgrimages and in holy bath. That's the part of the ritual. But which water? We have often heard in Murlis that the water of Ganges is not the purifier, but the water that flows, but the nectar of knowledge that flows through the mouth of Brahma is the real nectar. It's the real milk that nourishes the human souls. Knowledge has been compared to so many things. It's the water, it's the milk. And especially in India, this word is famous. Gomukh, the mouth of the cow. If you go in Abu, you will have this place, you must have seen it. There is a statue of a cow, and from the snout water is flowing, and they say that this water is coming from the river Ganges. But as we know, everything is symbolic. The cow is Brahma, and the knowledge and the water which is coming out is knowledge. So when God speaks, He speaks through Brahma. and the knowledge and the water that comes out sustains the world, gives a new life. It's not the ordinary water, it is the life-giving water. The desire for knowledge, the thirst for knowledge. This water will quench our thirst. We have been thirsty since time immemorial. Birth after birth, we were searching knowledge. But scriptures could not satisfy. Scriptures could not quench our thirst. It is said that there was a man in Tibet and he wanted to become the wisest man in the world. So what he did? He created a library of books, and the whole life he spent in collecting books. He saw that not a single book is missing in his library. He traveled far and wide and he collected almost everything, every book, every scripture, every pamphlet, every booklet, whatever he could, he collected. Because this man wanted to become the wisest man in the world. And when you want to become knowledgeable, what we do? Reading books, reading theories, reading philosophies. So this man just kept on reading things. There was no time to read. The first step was to collect books. He thought, I will read later on. First, let my library has all the books in the world. So in this way, he was able to collect many books, and for this he had to travel a lot. So he traveled across the world and kept collecting the books, thinking that once all the books are with me, then I will start reading. So he had a huge stock of books. But then he fell ill and the physician came and said, you have only 24 hours. So what he will do now? He wanted to know everything which is to be known, which can be known, which is the essence of life. So in 24 hours, how can he read thousands of books? Somebody suggested him, you do one thing. Called Buddhist monks, because the story is from Tibet. Call all the Buddhist monks and ask them to read. And then they will tell you the summary. So that before death, you will know everything. But then, again, this is an impossible task. How can all those monks go and read? And everyone will have a different summary. So then it was decided that the monks will go in the library. They will read, they will summarize. And after their summarization, whatever summaries they had, out of those summaries, they will extract further one summary. And all in 24 hours. It was a difficult task. So all the monks went and they summarized. They read books as hurriedly as possible. And they came up with summaries and then they started fighting. That my summary is better than your. And the man died. And that's the end of the story. Just by reading books, you cannot become clever. You cannot become the man of wisdom. Even if you get to know all the books of this world, even if you study all the great men, even if you study all the philosophies, still something would be lacking. Because knowledge is not about reading. Knowledge is about experience. To know means two things. Information plus anubhav. When these two things come together, that becomes knowledge. Otherwise, it is just information. You know, this is God, this is Paramdham, this is subtle world, this is Brahma, this is knowledge, this is Murli. Lot of information, the cycle of 5,000 years. This is nothing but sheer information. You know, this is confluence age and God has come and is giving you this knowledge. This is Sakar Murli and that is Avyakta Murli. This cannot make you knowledgeable. Knowledge is the name of the stage of mind. Once Dadi Janki was in Madhuvan and she fell sick. And doctor advised her that you should not leave the room, you should take complete bed rest. And that time, Murli used to be in the history hall. So she went to the Baba and said, I want to listen to Murli. So for the first time, a microphone or the speaker arrangement was done in Madhuvan. For Dadi Janki, for the first time, never before this happened. So Dadi was delighted. She was lying on her bed and listening to Murli. But again, by evening, she was upset. She went to Baba again and she said, Baba, I could hear, but I could not see you. I wanted to see your expressions. What about that? So next day, near the door of the history hall, there was a bed. And Dadi was lying there and listening to Murli. So knowledge is not just about listening. Knowledge is about experience. Knowledge is about feeling. Knowledge is about emotions. Knowledge should become the part of emotion. At present, it is the part of intelligence. And knowledge can make you intelligent, but intelligence is proud. Intelligence is ego. Intelligence makes you fall. Many times. There is no dearth of intellectuals in the world. If you study all the intellectual people of this world, you will find that their logic, their reasoning is so strong. But then, they are not the men of realization. Realization is an internal journey. If you can just sit at one place without doing anything for a few hours, it's a great achievement. Just sit for some time without moving. The desire to move body is the desire. It's a symptom of restlessness of the mind. Even whilst we sit here, how many times we must be moving? Sometimes fingers, sometimes knees, sometimes toes. We want to move. And when body moves, the mind moves. Just sit and see what happens. Still, without doing anything. Let the mind become like the ripple-less pond, the limpid pond, where the clear waters, in its stillness, would reflect what is below, or would reflect the moon which is above. But the mind should become like ripple-less water, thoughtless. Baba calls Aman, no mind. The stages of higher consciousness are the stages of as less thoughts as possible, undisturbed, unaffected. The stillness of the mind is purity. Purity is not about brahmacharya. Purity is not about conquering lust. Purity is not about even conquering senses. The highest definition of purity is equanimity. The mind is still. Somebody is coming and praising you. You are so good. You are yogi. Undisturbed. Somebody is coming and abusing you, maligning you, talking against you, spreading bad news against you. You remain stable. There is no attachment to praise, and there is no hatred for those who talk against. They both appear similar to you. This is purity. Equanimity is purity. Equipoise of the mind is purity. Because mind has a tendency to move like a pendulum. When there is a victory, we rejoice. When there is a defeat, we feel unhappy. We cry. When we know something, we are full of confidence. When we don't know something, we don't want to speak. People will say, would you like to speak? We say, no, I am not. You speak. The real reason is that I do not know. And I want to hide my ignorance. So mind is like that pendulum. This side, this side. This side, this side. Weather is good, you feel happy. Weather is not good, you feel unhappy. People praise you. You feel exhilarated, extremely happy. I am so good. But the next moment, somebody abuses you like anything. You feel unhappy. Knowledge is to become sthita pragya yogi. Knowledge should make you powerful. And the man never cries. It's not about male or female. The man never cries. Last Sunday's Murli, Baba described divine intellect. There is worldly intellect also. You can become a great scientist and you don't need spirituality for that. You don't need even brahmacharya for that. You can become very strong, very powerful. Worldly intelligence can come to you, but spiritual intelligence, divine intellect is entirely a different thing. The intention should be extremely pure. I remember when this group was started, there were only two people here. And we used to sit and discuss. One person here, one there, and one there. That's it. And there was no recording, nothing. No business of any other thing. And then few more joined. And we did not have even cell phones that time. We would just sit and discuss Murli. Then gradually mobile came. And then they would keep that here. That mobile would record the voices of everybody who is there. But we had no business with the world. We were busy only with ourselves. But one thing was there. The intention was extremely pure. The intention was extremely pure. That it should benefit everyone. We never knew that such a small place would become an international platform one day. There used to be one speaker here. There was one person who wanted to hear it live. So only for that purpose, he had kept. Somebody from Mumbai? Well, that is gone. It is there. So, the beginnings of the great thing begin with very small things. But you should stick to it. Just stick to it. When you know that, your intentions are extremely pure. There is no deception in the heart. And there is a thirst for knowledge. Knowledge will come to you sooner or later. So in last Sunday's Murli, Baba talked about 14 points about divine intellect, which we had revised already. So divine intellect is your first birthright. Divine intellect is the birthright. Second, divine intellect is the blessing which you have got. You have not gone anywhere to borrow, to purchase, to steal, to rob somebody. You got it as a blessing. The moment you have taken birth, you have been blessed by the Father with divine intellect. The third, divine intellect is the foundation of Brahmin life. It is the very foundation of your life. Without the divine intellect, how can you function? Fourth, divine intellect is the foundation of this Marjivachanam or Jeevan Parivartan, life transformation. Foundation. So that's the divine intellect. It's the very foundation. Then divine intellect is the foundation of a right decision. Right decision. You have to take decision about yourself, about others, about Brahmin family. Our life is full of decisions. Whether I should go or not go, there is a decision. You have to take decisions about others. You have to take decisions about the family. So right decision. Next, divine intellect is the foundation of right discrimination. Baba said you are Vidyavati, Vidyadevi, Saraswati. You know which is pebble and which is pearl. You can segregate. Next, divine intellect is the basis of right understanding. You have to understand yourself, Baba, and every soul. I have a particular impression about this soul. And I think of this soul as a very great soul. But somebody comes and pollutes my mind. And then my image of this person is destroyed. Now, after some day, somebody else comes. And he says, no, he is a very good person. Now I try to rebuild the image. But it is so tough because the power of negativity is sometimes more. So we form our opinion about people based on the opinions of others. Our own intelligence is gone somewhere, is lost. So divine intelligence gives you power of right understanding. So right decision, right discrimination, right understanding. Yathart janana. Next, divine intellect is a vehicle. Baba said with this vehicle you can travel the three worlds. It's a very speedy vehicle. Next, divine intellect is buddhi bal. Baba compared this with science. They were rishis. They would tame wild animals. Can't you do that? Next, divine intellect makes you master almighty authority, master sarvashaktivan. Next, divine intellect is something that makes impossible possible. Next, divine intellect is something. If you apply this divine intellect in any seva, you will experience Paramatma Prem, godly love. Next, divine intellect is something that gives you the experience of Paramatma Pariche, Milan Prapti, introduction of God, meeting with God, and attendance from God. And last, 14th, divine intellect is something that will help you conquer Maya because you have got pure touchings from God. So impure touchings of Maya, they cannot even come, they cannot even touch you. Because mind is filled with pure thoughts. So Baba said, two things about intelligence. One, use this intellect, and second, safai, clean this intellect. The whole Brahmin life is about these two things. Whole last Sunday's Murli, the essence was just these two words. Use the intellect as per seva, as per time, as per in mind, speech and karma. Using. And second, cleaning. Cleansing. Cleansing of intellect. Purification of the intellect. Decontamination of the intellect. Detoxification of the intellect. Because intellect has become contaminated with opinions, with comments of people. Purify the intellect, and you need very deep silence for this purification. Om Shanti.